Thank you for listening to this DuPont Media production, available on all major podcast platforms. This is Rod Peterson on demand.
Hey, podcast listeners, this is Rod Peterson. Be sure to join Dupes and me in Houston, Texas, this December from the 5th to the 10th. I guarantee you we'll be checking in on the Texans and the Broncos on NFL Sunday, plus two live shows with all our football buddies, including George Cortez and Don Narcisse. If you've always wanted to see a college football game and it's on your bucket list, why not join us in Houston for a college football playoff game? We're waiting on the Houston Rockets NBA schedule, but if they're home, one of the hottest teams in the NBA will be part of the trip. Check us out now at rodpeterson.com/trip, and thanks to Uniglobe for putting it on.
Oh yeah, he's back. The crack of the bat, the ping of the crossbar, and the roar of the crowd. We cover everything you want to talk about. It's the Rod Peterson Show.
Good morning, everybody. Welcome inside the bunker for the Rod Peterson Show, episode number 42. Just on my old trusty laptop here, because we got action. We got heat on Tuesday morning. Lots to talk about. Wherever you may be joining us from, welcome. Good morning, good afternoon, good evening. Here we are in sunny Western Canada, where the skies are blue. And the sun is bright yellow here in a wonderful summer. People are starting to find out, Darren DuPont, where the studio is. Do you know that? Have you noticed
I've
that?
I've noticed.
Only because they're taking photos of Big Bird and sending them to me on Snapchat and Facebook and Instagram. They're driving by and they're seeing Big Bird out in the field. So, which is fine, right? Yeah. It's okay. We're still not going to give our exact location, but...
we've got a solid security system.
We finally have a solid security. Probably people that are new viewers don't really understand or remember or knew that story. When that security guy was walking around here wiring this place.
Oh, yeah.
And I'm like, what are you doing? And he goes, we're fixing the security. What do we need security for?
We need security.
Apparently. Well, maybe from some Winnipeg fans, which we'll get to today. I'm Rod Peterson. He's Darren DuPont. If I'm macaroni, he's cheese.
I love cheese. It works.
We're mac and cheese. It works. Coming up on the program, Marshall Legs Hamilton, the Stampeders, Riders, and Ticats alum who's sitting just off the side of the set here in the warm-up. He'll be joining us shortly. From CFL.ca and TSN 1050 Radio Toronto, Matt Cause, super guy. He'll be on the program to talk all things CFL, maybe a little NHL. We're going to get the lowdown on the BC Lions situation from Brian Warrishan. He runs the BC Lions Den podcast. He's a super guy, but on his show a couple times, the Lions are all off. They're on a bye week, but Brian, he's actually taken a break and a bye from his podcast. He's like, I need to get out of here for a while. Well, he's going to come on here today to talk about BC. By the way, did Daron Carter even play the other night?
He didn't
notice?
Him, hey?
I did not notice him one time.
But
I did get the stat sheet from the CFL afterwards. And to be fair to Daron, I was hosting the watch party at Ballers Rec Room. So when you're hosting a party, you can't watch every down. No. They target him three times. He had one catch, a non-factor.
And he took a penalty. That's the only reason I remember.
What was the penalty?
He took a penalty.
It
was an offensive pass interference, I think, on a pass down the field, down the side.
A non-factor, like
non-factor.
The rest of the BC Lions, except for Ryan Langford, who's on his fourth team in 5 years.
Yep.
So how does that happen? And also coming up, a Toronto Maple Leafs reporter, Paul Hendrick. What is he from, MapleLeafs.com or something?
Yep.
All right. Looking forward to that. Show number 42, legendary number 42s in the sports world. What do you got? Bozak. Look at that. From the Leafs fan in the house.
There you go.
Would know that you would know that. Where'd you get that from?
Signed. So it's supposed to go up on the wall in here at some point.
Perfect.
So we're
going to
get that happening.
Why is it still in the bag?
Because we don't have a nice enough frame yet. It's signed. It's got to be in a nice...
Are you just going to throw it over the chair like the SJHL jerseys we have back there?
No.
Thanks, SJ. Well, Tyler Bozak, do we need to go any further?
Nah, that's it for me.
Jackie Robinson, obviously. If you don't know who he is, kids, Google it. And there will be a kids' youth theme throughout the warm-up and throughout this show. So hang on. Hold on to your bingo cards. More is coming. Mariano Rivera. The Sandman.
One of the greatest.
Number 42. Ronnie Lott, my buddy Ronnie Lott, voted the NFL's greatest defensive back ever. I'm so happy that I can actually say my buddy Ronnie Lott.
Yeah.
And James Worthy for the NBA fans. So
star-studded.
Some famous number 42s. So here's one of the great things about this show. There are many. I had an idea where we were going to go today on the show. A friend of mine sent me a link to CTV Atlantic, an interview with Randy Ambrosi yesterday. I'm like, oh, yeah, this will be good to watch, but probably fluff. Obviously talking about Touchdown Atlantic and the Schooners. And the guy, my buddy, says, no, you need to watch this. And it was from just yesterday. Steve Murphy was the reporter's name from CTV Atlantic. He just went after Randy Ambrosi like a punching bag in the interview. This is not a sportscaster. This is a newscaster. And he put Randy back on the ropes. And you know that I'm a Randy Ambrosi fan. And Randy can handle himself just fine. But he was not happy. Ambrosi was getting upset in the interview. And the whole, hey, you can go look for it yourself. Maybe I should tweet a link. It's worth watching. It's worth your 10 to 15 minutes. Far more than the 15-minute destroying video on YouTube, the Argos punter. But he said, the tickets haven't sold out here. What's the problem? The last time it was here, they sold out in a day. What's going on? Why were the tickets overpriced? How come you guys keep losing, going past deadlines for the new team? Are you going to start playing in 2021 in Moncton? And he's just like, I don't know. I can't say. Like, wow. It was getting super awkward.
Wow.
And he goes, are you not worried that this game's not sold out, Touchdown Atlantic? And Randy's like, I'm the commissioner of the CFL. I got a lot of worries. Just throw this on the pile. I'm like, I don't know if that was the best answer or not.
Whoops.
And you can tell that Randy showed up because most times when he's doing these sports interviews, it's a love-in. It's a, you're lobbing them softballs. You know, that's what you expect. This guy, right for the jugular. Oh, yeah.
Wow.
So, and kudos to Randy. I thought he did a good job in the interview, but they didn't leave with a lot of answers. Let's put it that way. They haven't even confirmed that they're going to start playing Moncton in 2021.
Right.
So that story by the Canadian Press, fake news. You are fake news. Now, I was going to do the daily poll. Is there going to be an Atlantic Schooners at all? That would have been a great poll question.
That would
question.
Be a good poll. Are they even going to come to fruition?
Right. And my guess would be, it would be a 50-50 split, yes or no. Because right now, I think it's 50-50 if there's even going to be a team. At best.
Yeah.
But we'll save that for tomorrow because I get up this morning and find out that Chris Kunitz, another good friend of ours, announces his retirement from the National Hockey League after, what did it say, 13, 14 seasons, 15 seasons?
Four Stanley Cups.
That's the big one.
Wow.
Four Stanley Cups. Chris Kunitz of Regina. And this is where it gets interesting. Because the question had came up real quickly as soon as he retired. And by the way, he's joining the Chicago Blackhawks as an advisor. Smart move by the Hawks. Greatest Regina athlete of all time? Is he?
Ooh.
Right.
That's a good poll question.
There's the poll question. And actually, I put it up.
Who are your four candidates? This is going to be exciting.
That's the whole idea, as Johnny Athens says. That's the whole idea.
Yeah.
There's only four choices on Twitter. Which is kind of a pain in the ass, but kind of great because you really got to think.
Yeah.
And Marshall Hamilton can bring the heat when he joins us after the warm-up with probably some guys that we haven't necessarily thought of. But, yeah, you go.
Do we talk born in Regina? Because do riders count?
You have to have been raised in Regina. Not necessarily born, but you have to call Regina home.
Yeah.
That's fair?
Like does George Reed count?
No. No.
Okay.
So, it took me a while to even whittle down the top four, and now we're into the hundreds of votes as it is. And again, old-timers, don't get upset, because I know there are a few watching, but mostly it's younger watching, given the platform, right?
Yep.
And listening. Well, one of my first names was Jordan Eberle.
Yep.
He didn't even make the list. Wow. I had to look myself in the mirror and say, even though I think of Jordan Eberle as family, he can't make the list.
The success he's had in the NHL, the World Juniors, the past.
Greatest World Junior ever.
Wow.
Didn't make it.
That's unbelievable.
Here are my top four. Ryan Getzlaff, in alphabetical order, by the way, Ryan Getzlaff, Chris Kunitz, Mark McMorris, John Ryan. Prove me wrong.
That's a great list.
It's an outstanding list. And so far this morning, for Capital Auto Mall and Universal Collision Center, leading the poll is Ryan Getzlaff, Stanley Cup champion, Olympic gold medalist. As is Chris Kunitz, by the way, the second choice. But Ebbs doesn't have an Olympic gold. Ebbs doesn't have a Stanley Cup.
It's interesting how people are going to vote, because you look at, you know, I'm looking at it up on the screen, and Getzlaff, I think, the better hockey player of the two when you come to Getzlaff and Kunitz. But Kunitz, all he does is win. And is he not represented Regina in such a fantastic way?
He's such a classy guy.
Yeah.
So, of course, people are saying, what about Chris Getzlaff? What about Chris Getzlaff? I know, right? Two Grey Cup championships. Top Canadian in the 2013 Grey Cup. The most outstanding Canadian in that game. I guess maybe we got to compare bank accounts then. I don't know. What's going to split the difference between Ryan and Chris Getzlaff? John Ryan, of course, the only ever Super Bowl champion from this province, let alone the city of Regina. Johnny Ryan is going to get his votes. He's a CFL record holder, too, by the way, for the longest punting average in the CFL history in a single season. And then I had to throw in Mark Morris. Mark McMorris, obviously.
Oh, of course.
Known him since he was this big. He's second in the poll, hot on the heels of Ryan Getzlaff. Ryan Getzlaff, as of right now, 37% of the vote, leads Mark McMorris, 35% of the vote.
Mark McMorris is worldwide.
That's the point. Think outside your craniums when you're voting. Chris Kunitz, 17%. John Ryan, 11%. Now, I don't know if this is a Regina thing or a Saskatchewan thing or a societal thing, but this is the people that I know in this town. They'll be, Ryan Getzlaff beat me up on the playground in grade six. I'm not voting for him. He's a prick. You know what I mean? They don't get over that here. Yeah. And maybe that's around the globe, I don't know, but that's the way people are here. So remove the blinders, remove the biases, and say, who is the best Regina athlete ever? Now, I saw Daryl Davis of CGME tweeting this morning, Terry Harper and Bob Turner each won 5 Stanley Cups, each, Darren. So we're going to go on Stanley Cups alone. You know, where does Chris Kunitz rate on that? You know, Alan Ford spent so many years with the Rough Riders, over 30 years, won a couple of Grey Cups, Regina guide, Neil Hughes, 2 Grey Cups with the Rough Riders. We're talking about greatest all-time Regina athletes, and what's your criteria? I don't even know what the criteria is.
Everybody will have different criteria. That's the thing about lists, about the best evers, about doing these types of debates, is everybody's going to have a different set of criteria that they vote on.
Producer Clark, something happened to my monitor, so you're going to have to tell me when we have Matt Cause in. Here's what's new in my world as a broadcaster. I don't know how to run any of this stuff. You know that, right?
I do.
You know, back in the day, when I started in high school at CFSL Weyburn, I could fix anything. Splice tape, fix a phone line, fix a microphone, you name it.
Yep.
Fast forward to 2019, I don't even know how to turn this stuff on.
It's true. It's true, though. It sounds like you're joking, but you're not.
No. Yeah. Did you hear any of what I just said, Clark? He's talking about Sandra Schmirler in my ear. Do we have Matt Cause yet? I can't. My monitor's not working. Okay. Tell me when we do, please. Clark's on another channel. I'm on this channel. He's on this channel today, which is fine. Guy is watching in Kipling, and he says, to win over some female fans, but I agree, Sandra Schmirler. She's from bigger Saskatchewan. I don't think she's regarded as a Regina athlete.
Yeah, I don't either.
Bigger. She's got bigger. That's bigger's gal. Let's let bigger have Sandra Schmirler. She was not raised in Regina. So that's the point. I can't wait, honestly, to get Marshall Hamilton in the bunker to talk about that. His thoughts. There is a Regina Sports Hall of Fame. There's some tremendous names in there. And we're not even going down the Saskatoon road. That's a completely different kettle of fish. Why are we talking about this morning? Chris Kunitz has retired from the National Hockey League, four-time Stanley Cup winner. Is he the greatest athlete in Regina history? Another guy at the gym this morning said to me, who's the guy that played for the Pats and the Chicago Blackhawks? Chicago's your team, Marshall. Dirk Graham. He said Dirk Graham would be a good one. And are we talking about lists of championships here, rings, Hall of Fames? I don't know. Moving on, some of the other things here before we break in the warm-up this morning. Winnipeg, some not too happy with me, some getting it. But Clark has taken to putting snippets of this show in the fan pages of all these different teams. So my rant on the Bombers yesterday didn't go over particularly well with some people in Winnipeg. It's kind of a funny thing back and forth, but they said some not very nice things about me over there. So the ice might not be necessarily melting as fast as we thought.
Uh-oh.
Here's your morning life tip, everybody. If somebody comes after you and is mean to you, don't take it personally. Hurting people hurt people. Do I need to rewind that?
Word.
Hurting people hurt people. So if somebody comes after you, the problem isn't you, it's them. I'm pointing east. So I got that just recently from a good friend of mine, Jeff Rosner, former Moose Jaw Warrior. He runs Broncos House up north of Saskatoon. It's like Ronald McDonald House, but it's for grieving families or families whose child or family members going through terminal illnesses. Broncos House. It's reflective of the Swift Current Broncos and the Humboldt Broncos. Jeff said that to me just a couple weeks ago. Don't take anything personally.
Such good advice.
It's so great advice. I think about it almost every day. And Jeff's going to be here in the bunker coming up, by the way. He's going to come down to a Rider game. He's going to come in and talk about Broncos House. Ezekiel Elliott, if we go down the NFL road, have you followed any of this?
I have tried to follow this a little bit.
Holding out a Dallas Cowboys camp, and he is now in Cabo. This is the funny thing. He's like, well, you guys sort it out. I'm going to Cabo. And then Adam Schefter makes it clear this morning. He's training down there, just so you know. He's not just eating burritos, you know, and surfing.
Did you see what Jerry Jones said about it, though, when he was asked about it? He's like, to win a championship, we don't need a league leading rusher to win a championship.
That's what he said.
Like, we don't.
And yet the three Super Bowls they won were with Emmitt Smith. Remember, I'm a Cowboys fan.
But the game has changed. It's a passing game.
Wow, Jerry, what do you know about anything? Give him the money. I'll get into that with Marshall. Give him the money. If you want to win, give him the money. And we'll talk about the Riders and the Ticats coming up Thursday night, too. Clark says, at this time, we're having an issue getting Matt Cause on the air. So that's fine. Just a reminder of the poll today. Who is Regina's greatest all-time athlete? Your choices, John Ryan, Chris Kunitz, Ryan Getzlaff, and Mark McMorris. And if we're wrong, you want to write in on the ballot, please do. Prairie Mobile text line 840-8777, 306-840-8777. Back with more in a moment. This has been The Warm-Up. It's The Rod Peterson Show on Facebook Live. Listen live at rodpeterson.com and catch our podcast at Apple Podcasts, Google Play Music, and iHeartRadio.
Employee pricing is back.
Yeah, it's my favorite time of the year.
You pay what I pay.
We get amazing discounts when we buy a car.
And this month, you can too.
Car, truck, SUV, doesn't matter.
You pay what we pay.
Get savings up to $19,000 on new Ford F-150s. They're starting as low as $32,999 plus tax, and no one has more of them than Capital Ford.
It's like you work here,
but you don't have to.
You pay what we pay.
Houston, we have a problem. Join Rod and the gang in Houston this December. Rod Peterson's VIP sports experience with Uniglobe Travel. Enjoy 5 nights in beautiful Houston, Texas with the Rod Peterson Show. See the Houston Texans and the Denver Broncos on NFL Sunday. Plus, the Houston Rockets and exciting NBA action and so much more. Visit rodpeterson.com for more information and to sign up now.
Nestled in the scenic Qu'Appelle Valley, just 20 minutes northwest of Regina, is one of the finest golf courses in all of Saskatchewan, the Deer Valley Golf Club. The clubhouse has a full-service restaurant, and customers can enjoy a casual dining experience with spectacular views of the golf course and valley. A fully stocked golf shop, staffed by PGA of Canada professionals, is equipped to meet all of your golf apparel and equipment needs. Book your tee time, family event, or corporate tournament today at the Deer Valley Golf Club. Call 306-731-1445 or log on to deervalleygolf.ca.
Laid back and kicking it, let's head back to the studio. Here's Rob.
All right, welcome back on a, what is it, Tuesday?
Yeah, I guess so. Yeah,
Tuesday morning sports update. The Blue Jays got a win in Kansas City last night thanks to the long ball. Cavan Biggio hit the go-ahead homer in the eighth, and Toronto rallied past the host Royals 7-3. Randall Grichuk and Teoscar Hernandez also went deep. Blue Jays second baseman Freddie Galvis was scratched about an hour before first pitch with lower back tightness. I could be scratched with that every day. Jays prospect Bo Bichette singled in the first at bat of his big league career against KC last night. He's the son of longtime big leaguer Dante Bichette and makes it a trio of legacy players in the Jays lineup. Vladimir Guerrero Jr., of course, and Cavan Biggio, the son of Hall of Famer Craig Biggio, arrived earlier this season. Their fathers combined to make 20 appearances in the Major League Baseball All-Star Game. So that's cool. Canadian Eugenie Bouchard suffered her latest defeat after being dropped in straight sets by American Lauren Davis at the City Open. Davis only needed 59 minutes to beat Bouchard 6-1, 6-2, but Jeannie's Instagram story is lit. So she's still a winner. And the New Jersey Devils acquired left winger Nikita Gusev from the Vegas Golden Knights and signed him to a 2-year contract with an average annual salary of $4.5 million U.S. And by the way, good morning to everybody watching from Las Vegas, because we got some friends and fans in the Golden Knights office, and looking forward to having them on soon. So, on episode number 42, we welcome to the bunker Marshall Hamilton, Stamps Riders Ticats alum. How you doing, Marshall?
Awesome.
That's
good.
Every
day is a great day.
Isn't it? It is. Especially with the Riders winning. Have you noticed an uptick in people's moods the last couple weeks around here?
Yeah. I don't think people are going overboard and saying, oh, we're on our way to the Cup. But people are certainly more excited than they were when we were, you know, 1-3 or something like that a couple weeks ago. It's exciting. But, you know, my family hates it when I do this, when I put things into perspective. They've won 3 games. And the teams they've beaten are the BC Lions and the Toronto Argonauts, the 2 worst teams in the league, and 2 teams that really look like they're struggling and will struggle for the balance of the year. So exciting watching Fajardo mature. It's exciting watching the team come together. But they're only 3-3, which is .500, and they've only beaten those 2 teams.
Looks like things are looking up for them, though, and we've got a lot of time today to get into Thursday's game and all of Week 8 in the CFL. I was remiss. I should have asked you first your thoughts on Regina's best athlete. By the way, our poll today for Capital Auto Mall and Universal Collision Center.
Yeah, as you know, I was sitting here when you guys were talking about it, and I was watching the name scroll on the feed, and I was listening to your comments on the players. Ryan Getzlaf, there's certainly more than 4 people's names that should be on that list. But, you know, if I had to vote between those 4 that were on the list, although I'm not 100% sure that McMorris is from Regina. I think he might be from White City or something.
That's Regina, Marshall. Come on.
Just outside of Regina. Well, you know, you want me to be perfectly exact.
Okay.
But anyway, I'd probably, as much as I like Ryan Getzlaf and commend him for the tremendous career he's had, Mark McMorris has had a huge effect on the entire world and revolutionized the sport. And I don't know how many medals he's won, but I'm sure it's way more medals than Ryan Getzlaf has won Stanley Cups, but certainly
and gold medals.
It's like comparing an apple and orange. Which is better, an apple or an orange? Well, it depends on your preference. Well, if you're a young fan that likes X Games and likes, you know, that exciting style of skiing that Mark McMorris does, that'd probably be their choice. And for those hockey purists and probably old sport purists, they'd go with Ryan Getzlaf. If I had to pick, I'd pick Mark McMorris.
And that's why we have a vote.
Yeah.
That's why it's a democratic country. And by the way, speaking of our freedom, I'm jumping all over today and I apologize, but the Army guys got a hold of me yesterday, Sergeant Betker, and for Thursday's tailgate party before the Riders and the Ticats, not only will they be pulling trucks again, 30,000-pound trucks. Did you see that the other game?
No, I didn't.
Oh, unbelievable.
Pulling with
themselves,
human power.
Human beings were pulling artillery carriers.
I assume it's more than one guy,
though. No, one. And I have
one
it on
guy
my video.
Was pulling the
vehicle? A 30,000-pound truck. I have video of
That's
it.
That's a strong man.
So that wasn't a soldier, by the way. They were the strong men.
Yeah.
But the soldiers are going to be, they're bringing tractor tires down this week.
Yeah.
And I think they're going to pull trucks, too. And the soldiers are going to be involved. This was Sergeant Becker that told me. So if you're coming to the Rider game Thursday night, Riders and Ticats, pop on by our Royal Regina Rifles, Canadian Armed Forces tailgate right across the street from the stadium. The tire flipping gets going at 5:45. Kickoff is 7:30. So furthermore, to the Riders and the Ticats game, obviously Jeremiah Masoli's out. I see reports this morning from Hamilton that Adrian Tracy's out. Defensive tackle, outstanding D lineman for the Ticats. And Sirocco, the right guard, is out. So the stars are aligning, Marshall.
And Simone Lawrence is still on a two-game suspension. So that's another significant piece of their defensive puzzle. They're still a very, very good football team. And, you know, we'll get to predictions later, but they're... The Saskatchewan Roughriders are certainly catching the Hamilton Tiger Cats at the right time because, A, they're playing better, and Hamilton, B, is struggling with injuries, not the least of which, by far, is their starting quarterback.
What do you think is going to happen Thursday night, Darren?
Yeah, sometimes you just need the stars to align a little bit to get yourself in the right spot. And I know the Riders only beat Toronto and BC, and those are the free spaces on the bingo card, and you should take care of those games, but they're finding their own, right? Cody Fajardo's still finding his way as a starting quarterback in this league. And so, you know, the stars aligning. You get Hamilton at maybe the right place in the right time, at home, banged up, no quarterback. Yeah, it could be just what the Riders need to continue to roll a little bit and get better and more prepared to take on a Calgary or an Edmonton or one of these top teams in the CFL. So I expect a pretty good game. It should be a fun night. I think the weather's supposed to be good. I haven't looked too far down the line.
It's hot all week.
But it'll be warm.
Yeah. Yep. So it's going to be awesome for Thursday night football.
7:30 kickoff, night game. I don't care if it's Thursday, Friday, Saturday. Night games in this town are amazing. And we got one here Thursday night, so I think it'll be a good crowd, maybe even a sellout. But, Marshall, you got to bet. You bring it up every time I see you with Nashville from Saskatoon. And you brought it up this morning before we even went to air. Tell our viewers about this bet, and how are you feeling about that bet here?
Well, my comment before I get into the story was I said I wonder if Nashville will join the conversation today on online. The history of this was I said, I think one of our first shows that we did before the season started, I said that Hamilton will be the class of the East and they'll win first place. And anybody that doesn't think I'm right with that one, I'd be happy to bet you. So Nashville jumped on, and you know, I've never met Nashville. I'm sure he's a great guy, but he jumped on and said, I'll take that bet. So it's my prediction that the Hamilton Tiger Cats will finish first versus all of the other teams in the East, which is Nashville's bet. And we bet $50. Well, after the first couple weeks of the season, I decided to turn up the pressure and took up my doubling cube. If you want to use my metaphor from my backgammon gaming days, is I said, okay, Nashville, you can either pay me $50 now, or I want to up the bet to $100. And Nashville took the bet. Well, here we are, fast forward sort of 4, 5, 6 weeks, and now the Hamilton Tiger Cats starting quarterback goes down with an injury, out for the season. So I'm just wondering now, Hamilton still has a two-game lead on the second-place team, which happens to be the Montreal Alouettes. Does he want to take me up on maybe trying to redouble me one?
Well, the question is, do you take the insurance, right? He offers you 50 now to get out. $50, you can get out, you can cut your losses. Or are you going to be in, or are you going to ride it out for the full 100? Right?
Well, I'm in it for the full 100.
Dealer's showing an ace here on blackjack. You can take the insurance.
You know, I suspect Nashville's, you know, thinking this through right now. And if he's online, he's probably thinking about, what am I going to say him about this one? But it makes for an interesting question. Forget about the bet aside, is who's going to finish first in the East now?
Yeah. Well,
I think the two of you probably would have agreed with me at the beginning of the season. But now, with the starting quarterback being out, you know, I still think it's going to be Hamilton. But, you know, Montreal's looked way better than we thought they would look. Ottawa early in the season looked way better than we thought they would, but now they're struggling. But Dominic Davis is likely to come back. Toronto's likely too far gone to even worry about this year. But, you know, which is it, Toronto? Or sorry, is it Montreal? Is it Ottawa? Or is it Hamilton? I'm still going with Hamilton.
Well, back to the West. We probably tomorrow will do our weekly poll of what's Canada's game of the week. But I got to think it's Calgary-Edmonton Saturday at McMahon Stadium. And I was thinking about this over the last couple of days. The Eskimos are a real fly under the radar kind of team. We've been talking a lot about the woes of teams with injuries. We've been talking about how great the Bombers have been. We've been talking about Bo Levi in Calgary, Daron in BC. Edmonton just goes and does their thing, right? Doesn't bother anybody. They don't create any waves.
Right.
They might end up being the team that won free agency. It's still too early to tell, but with Trevor Harris and Greg Ellingson and the guys that they signed, they're fun to watch too, by the way, I feel. Mm-hmm. I'm sure the Eskimos are happy just sitting back going, hey, you guys take all the spotlight. We'll just keep doing our thing over here and winning.
Well, early in the season, I mean, I'll speak only for myself. I was just super impressed with their defensive line and how much pressure they were getting on the quarterback. Now, keep in mind, two of those games were against the BC Lions, who obviously they're still continuing to prove that they can't protect Mike Riley. So I think they got 12 of their sacks against the BC Lions in those two games. But they've played a number of games since then, and they're still getting sacks and tremendous pressure from that defensive line. So that's an exciting young team to watch. I mean, I'm not an Edmonton Eskimo fan, never will be, but I love watching that defensive line put pressure on the quarterback. And Trevor Harris, I've just become even bigger fan the more I watch him play. He's such a great leader, in my opinion, and I think he's a very good quarterback, very good possession quarterback, but he's not afraid to throw the ball deep. And when you add that in with their running attack, their wide receivers, some of which they got on free agency with Ellingson, that's a really good football team. And somehow Jason Moss, who looked like kind of a tire fire as a head coach a couple years ago, is starting to get it. He's starting to recognize that I got to build a culture here and I need to be the leader of this team. And they're going to look at me and how I behave on the sidelines, how I behave in the locker room. And he's starting to grow up. He's starting to mature as a head coach. So that's a team that, you know, they're certainly in the conversation for the top three in the Western Conference.
And I didn't have them there. I had Calgary, Winnipeg.
And I didn't either.
You know.
So they've surprised me.
Yeah. Hats off to Edmonton. So, you know, we had Derek Dennis on here yesterday, and thanks for the Calgary Stampeders for greenlighting that interview with Derek, which he really seemed to enjoy, didn't he? He smiled through the whole interview, if you noticed. But I said to him, who do you get up more for games against, Saskatchewan or Edmonton? Who do they hate more in your locker room? And he goes, it's about even. He goes, but it also depends on the record. And they're both 4-2, right? Going into Saturday's game. That's what should make it Canada's game of the week. And I hope people come down from Edmonton to that game in Calgary and let's get these crowds up across the CFL. But again, that's tomorrow's poll. And Marshall, you and I will be on television tonight making our picks. Calgary's still without Bo Levi Mitchell. They're still winning without Bo Levi Mitchell. What do you think is going to happen in that game Saturday? Eskimos Calgary.
Yeah, that's a tough one. I'm probably going to go with Edmonton, but I will say, you know, to kind of couch my bet that, yeah, they're playing with, or Calgary's playing without Bo Levi Mitchell, but they're still playing with Dave Dickinson, and they're still playing with John Huffnagel. And the reason I say that, it might sound odd, is I think those guys are so key to the success of Bo Levi Mitchell and now to Arbuckle with game planning. I would love to sit in a film room with Dave Dickinson watching the opposition and watch what he picks up. And I've hinted at this in some of our previous broadcasts, the kind of things that he sees and he goes, watch this number 37. And I'm just picking that number out of the sky. Watch this number 37 when it's a zone coverage, how he lines up, and when it's a man coverage, how he lines up. And if they just watch it back and forth, they watch it for five or six plays and they go, he does that every single play. So he passes that information on, which only a guy like Dave Dickinson can see, or a Hall of Fame kind of guy like that, passes it on to the quarterbacks. And then the quarterbacks, when they come out of the huddle, they look at the line of scrimmage and they sort of subtly look around and they see where number 37 is lined up and they go, it's man-to-man. Audible to a play that's ideal for man-to-man coverage, there you go. So is it Arbuckle that's this great quarterback? Is it Bo Levi Mitchell that's this great quarterback? Yeah, that's part of it. But Dave Dickinson, and Dave Dickinson probably got a lot of that from John Huffnagel, the ability to read defenses, the ability to read pre-snap reads by watching film over and over and over again is so, so important to that team. So that's why, in my opinion, as long as Dave Dickinson is there, we will always say, how come Calgary's always got a good quarterback? Well, because they always have Dave Dickinson.
That's for sure. And if you watched the interview with Derek Dennis, he said it's the system. Yes. He even admitted that. He goes, they go and search for players that fit the system. And I've seen coaches that just search for the best players and devise a system around the best. But that has worked for teams, too. But Calgary, for what they've done, this is what they do. Does it mean they'll win on Saturday? I don't know. I see Haley and I believe she's in Calgary, writes in on the Facebook feed. She says, they don't need Bo. Woo. Why don't you go down to McMahon and say that? yell it outside the stadium and see what they say. I don't know, man. That's what they're talking about in Calgary. You know that, right? Like, we're not really allowed to talk about it. Marshall Stampeder's alum, so I'll ask you to put your Stamps alum hat on. That's the whisper in Calgary amongst the football people. Not the Stamps people, just the football people saying, how much do we really need this guy? Do we need to pay him $700,000? That's what I'm getting out of Calgary.
Well, I don't doubt there's... I wouldn't be surprised if there's people saying that, and I wouldn't be surprised if at least one of those people is John Huffnagel. Well, where's Marshall coming from with that one? I don't think John Huffnagel wanted to pay $800,000 a year to Bo Levi Mitchell, but I think he felt like he had no choice, because if he didn't, Bo Levi would be playing with Saskatchewan or one of the other teams in the league, and then he'd be criticized, you know, for that. Every time Bo Levi Mitchell got Saskatchewan a win, he'd be criticized for that. So he felt he had to. But he also knew that if I'm paying him $800,000 a year, that takes a bunch of money away from my budget that I can't bring in this free agent or that free agent or sign this guy or keep this guy.
Well,
so,
and look what's happening in BC.
Yeah, well, you've heard me say this multiple times so far this season. I want to do... And I want somebody else to help me with this, but do a recap at the end of the year and do a pros and cons analysis of, did it really help or did it hurt the teams that signed Trevor Harris, Bo Levi Mitchell, Mike Riley to these huge contracts at the expense of the money they could spend on all these other players? And my theory is that it hurt them, or that it will hurt them more than it's helped them throughout this season.
Yeah, I said that all along, too, that we have no proof that the system works yet. We haven't seen it work yet. I mean, Bo Levi hasn't played, and Mike Riley hasn't had any success in BC yet because he hasn't had an offensive line to protect him. And that could be because there's no funds available, but we just haven't seen it work yet to know if it's a good system and if it's going to continue.
Seems to be working for Edmonton so far. Trevor Harris, you heard me comment earlier about how impressed I am with him. That team's rolling along pretty good, and Trevor Harris is a big part of it. But you're right about the other two teams. We haven't seen Bo and Mike Riley. They can't protect him.
Taking care of some business here right now. Where do I start? Our daily poll, of course, for Capital Auto Mall, Universal Collision Center. Who's Regina's best athlete all time? John Ryan, Ryan Getzlaff, Chris Kunitz, or Mark McMorris? Right now, it's a race between Getzlaff and Mark McMorris, but Nelson's watching as he does every morning. He says, how isn't Regina-born NHL referee Mick Magoo in the conversation? 1,083 regular season games, 63 playoff games, and the 06 Stanley Cup Finals. It's a great question, but that's out of left field. He is in the SJHL Hall of Fame as well, by the way, but I don't know that you're putting a referee in that crew. And nobody loves Mick more than me outside his family. You must have bumped into Mick back in the day.
Well, Mick and I go back a long way.
Right.
We went to high school together. I went to high school with his first wife, and we won a high school football championship. Mick was on the same team as me. Played a little bit of hockey growing up with Mick, and you know, played football with his brothers. So I've known Mick for a long, long time. And no criticism intended to Mick and the late Mick and his family. But I have trouble putting referees in the athlete category. I think they're good athletes, obviously, to be able to skate with those guys like that. But it's just not the same as somebody competing in the sport itself. And I know I'm going to pee off a whole bunch of people out there when I say this, but I sort of look at curlers the same way. Because I was sitting in the bunker listening to you guys talk earlier, but aren't there some Richardsons?
Of course. I thought about
from many, many years
Ernie
ago.
Ernie and Sam.
Won a whole bunch of Briars that could be in that conversation as well. But again, curlers have, they've changed their reputation, thankfully, but curlers have this reputation of just sort of drinking beer and smoking cigarettes and then going out there and throwing a rock every once in a while. Well, that athlete perception has changed, but that was the case when the Richardsons were playing.
Well, a write-in ballot this morning was for Benny Hebert.
Yeah.
Who sat on that very chair and brought the Tankard Trophy in. I get it, too. Multi-sport athlete, by the way, played with the Regina Thunder. But we had to narrow it down to four, and that's why we have what we have. And on the Prairie Mobile text line, Flin Flon's texted in. You remember Jeremy?
Yeah.
Jay-Z's, I call him Flin Flon. Oh, guess why? He's from Flin Flon. He says, Clark needs a mic in the control room. Come on, Baba Booey. Our producer, you guys were telling me, and Clark's just on the other side of this wall, that's coming. A camera in there, actually?
Yeah.
This is for the Rod Peterson Show 2.0. Apparently there is that.
Phase 2,
that's what we call it.
2.0 will be down the line.
What else do you want to tell me about the show with my name on it? Because I know nothing about where we're going.
You got some ideas, I know.
I got some ideas. Well, people are saying, are you taking the show on the road? Are you going to do this? I'm like, I don't know. I got a bracelet that says one day at a time on it. That's what I do. Clark's telling me to take a break. But do we have somebody lined up? Okay. And he's telling me to say, I want Rattlers tickets for your chance. Oh, type that on the Facebook feed. I want Rattlers tickets for your chance to win tickets to this Friday's Rattlers game in Saskatoon. They're playing the Fraser Valley Bandits, and we'll be there. Live guest coming up next. This is the Rod Peterson Show on Facebook Live, and listen live at rodpeterson.com.
Enjoying the show? Why not join the team? We're exploding and in the market for a new top six forward. Have sales experience and ready to join a new team? Free agency is open and we want to hear from you or your agent. Send us an email to careers@dupontmedia.ca and submit your resume today. Do you have what it takes?
Universal Collision Center is Saskatchewan's premier auto body shop. Our extensive process ensures that every vehicle that comes through our state-of-the-art facilities is returned pre-accident condition and that every UCC customer experience is an easy one. We're certified to repair all makes, all models, and all luxury brands, and Universal Auto Spa offers full-service detailing packages to suit you and your vehicle. Plus, we're the official body shop of your Saskatchewan Rough Riders. Universal Collision Center, 3910 Rochdale Boulevard and 2355 First Avenue in Regina.
Bronco Plumbing and Heating has been servicing Regina and surrounding areas since 1978. At Bronco, we service all makes and models of furnaces, air conditioners, water heaters, and water softeners. Bronco also provides full sewer service, plumbing service, and duct cleaning. Call Bronco Plumbing and Heating today at 306-781-2090. Proud sponsor of the Rod Peterson Show.
Locally owned and family operated, Emerald Water, refreshing the Rod Peterson Show. From reverse osmosis to natural alkaline and distilled water, they are perfect for your home and office. Saskatchewan's number one source for commercial alkaline with natural electrolytes and minerals that are better for your body. Naturally occurring magnesium, calcium, bicarbonate, and potassium are amazing for your health. Trust 30 years of experience and drink water that matters from Emerald Water.
If you're looking for radio that's got a great message, well, we've got it. LTD Radio plays the best of the 60s to the 90s, all with amazing stories about people right from your community. You can listen live right now at ltdradio.com, iTunes, Streama, and TuneIn. LTD Radio, music to build a better day.
Sports Talk on Demand. Head to rodpeterson.com to access all of the content you may have missed or want to hear again. Now, back to the studio with Rod.
Welcome back inside the bunker, everybody. Episode number 42 of the Rod Peterson Show. And we've been asking for your favorite number 42s in sports. Well, another great Regina athlete came up in that. Tyler Bozak, of course, of the Stanley Cup champion St. Louis Blues. He doesn't wear 42 with the Blues, right? Pull your mic in, DuPont.
Yeah, I don't
think he does.
Did he?
I don't think he did. 42 with the Leafs for sure. Ronnie Lott, Jackie Robinson, Mariano Rivera. So there's a lot. We continue the CFL discussion today, going out on video chat. Brian Warwishan joining us from Vancouver, the BC Lions podcast, Lions Den podcast. Good morning, Brian. How are you, my man?
I'm excellent. Thanks for having me on.
Yeah, good to have you. I know these guys were very excited to have you on to talk about the BC Lions. You don't sound yet that excited, Brian, to talk about the 1-6 BC Lions, man. What's the mood out there?
It's really tough. You know, we were promised a very aggressive and exciting football team by Ed Hervey this offseason, and it's certainly been anything but that to start the season. So there's a ton of things wrong with this team, and it starts at the top and goes right down to the bottom. Every facet of the team, special teams, offense, defense, you could have problems. So it's been very frustrating, and hopefully through the bye week here, Ed can make a few adjustments and get the team playing a little bit better anyway.
Well, I follow you on Twitter, and you certainly let it fly on a weekly basis, but particularly after that loss 45-18 to the Rough Riders on Saturday there at BC Place Stadium. Are you this disappointed because you expected more, or why are Lions fans so down?
Well, I think everybody expected more. You know, you look at the preseason predictions, I think Vegas had the Lions as the favorites to win the Grey Cup, which I found kind of humorous. But I was on record as saying on our podcast that I thought it was going to take a year for this team to kind of settle in under Ed Hervey's vision. The problem right now is that Hervey's vision seems to have failed. You know, he spent a lot of money on a select group of players. And I think you can do that if you go out and scout properly and find guys that can come in and make a difference on lower end, entry level deals, but they haven't been able to do that. Their scouting didn't bring in enough depth for this team. The offensive line clearly doesn't have enough depth. The guys that aren't playing well can't be replaced because they don't have anybody to replace them. Suk Chung was brought in. He's injured. Joel Figueroa is a solid player, but you know, the rest of that offensive line has been a jigsaw puzzle that they're trying to put together, and they haven't been able to do that. So on the defensive side of the ball, the defensive line is the same thing. They can't pressure the quarterback. So, both line of scrimmage, it's a gong show right now, and you can't win football games if you can't dominate at the line of scrimmage.
What are you sensing in terms of the morale of this group? Are they staying level-headed? Are they being patient through this? Or are we starting to get a little bit of that discomfort, and are we going to see any real panic or any action from that group? How's the morale?
I think over the first few weeks of the season, the morale was good. I mean, they were trying to figure things out. They knew it was going to take some time to gel. But over the last couple of weeks, I've started to see some heads hanging. You know, you look at Mike Riley in that game in Saskatchewan, and just the expression on his face. He was frustrated. He was done. I think frustration with Mike Riley is a key indicator of where this team is right now. He's a guy that's pretty level-headed, doesn't get too frustrated, but he's shown that frustration in several ways this year, mostly from getting hit constantly, but he's also got into a fan altercation walking off the field a couple weeks ago. And, the frustration is definitely setting in, not only with the players, but with the fans as well.
Two-part question. What pressure is the head coach under? He's a well-regarded head coach, but is off to a terrible start. And this is going to sound like a real Saskatchewan question, because we got frustrated watching a very talented Daron Carter for 2 years in Saskatchewan wear out his welcome. And I'm just wondering, how close is Daron Carter to wearing out his welcome in BC?
I don't think he's close at all. And I find it kind of humorous on Twitter where people pick him out as the target. I don't think you can judge any receiver on this team until they get an offensive line and Mike Riley has time to throw the ball. I mean, obviously, Brian Burnham is getting his catches. He's the primary receiver in this group, so that's expected. But when your quarterback doesn't have time to throw the ball, receivers can't run their routes. I'm not sure how you can judge any receiver on this team. Talking to people with the Lions, Daron Carter is loved by his teammates. He's not causing problems here. The stats aren't there. The performance isn't there. But at the same time, I really don't believe he's a problem at this point. As far as Devon Claybrooks goes, this is his first year as a head coach. There's going to be some growing pains, I think, where the Lions may have underestimated things a little bit, where the hiring of his assistant coaches, who are all basically one-year or first-year assistant coaches, with the exception of Rich Stubler and Jarius Jackson. You know, I'm not convinced Jarius Jackson, the offensive coordinator on this team, if it wasn't for the salary coaching cap, you know, I think at this point, Devon Claybrooks is getting a bit of a pass, besides the people who want him to straighten his hat out, which is absolutely ridiculous. I think that, you know, he's going to get some time to right the ship here, and I don't expect him to be in much trouble.
Marshall has a question, but can you please turn your hat like Claybrooks style? If you're going to support him, support him, Brian. Go ahead, Marshall. There you go. Hey, you look just yes. like him. Okay, go ahead, Marshall.
I need a little bit of pinch between your cheek and gum over here so that then you look exactly like him. What was my question? Oh, I don't know if you heard us talking before we got you on the air, but I've been saying for probably the last 5 or 6 weeks that there needs to be a good analysis done at the end of the year for those teams that spent, like the BC Lions, a whole bunch of money on their starting quarterback at the expense of not having as much money for the rest of the team. I'm just wondering, is that kind of discussion happening at all in BC?
Oh, absolutely. I think the fan base is criticizing Ed Hervey for tying up all his eggs in one basket. But, you know, as I said earlier, I think that can be done if you can go out and scout and find players to come in that are talented football players. I don't think the Lions scouting staff has done that. You know, I'm not sure how you fix this. I think at this point in the season, there's no easy fixes for this team because there just aren't the players out there that you can bring in. Even with NFL cuts, these guys come in, they have to learn the Canadian game. It's going to take them weeks to do that. You know, they just acquired Justin Renfro, a tackle luxury, who, you know, I've talked to some people in Calgary. They say he's a good player, so hopefully he can come in and help. But, you know, he wasn't starting there. So, you know, I don't think that there's any quick fixes here. Yeah, certainly that's going to be analyzed and picked apart if the season continues the way it is. And, you know, right now, with as many problems as this football team has, I'm not sure it can be fixed. There's definitely going to be an autopsy on this team at the end of the season, and we're going to see know just what they do about this situation, whether Mike Riley has to suck it up and take a bit of a restructured contract to get some more guys in here. Suk Chung, you know, he's also making a fair bit of money, so we're going to have to see what happens.
Is it hard to criticize the Lions, Brian, because you, like I said, you let it fly, but they're very good to you, right? They put their players and staff on your podcast and so forth. Does that make it hard for you to be extra critical?
Oh, you know, I have to bite my tongue a lot of times. What I say is pretty restrained, I think. But, you know, I'm a longtime season ticket holder. I've been a fan of this team for 43 years. So, you know, it hurts when the team's not playing well. And when we do a podcast, it just seems like we keep talking about the same things and nothing's changing. And it's not just this year. It goes back a couple of years with Wally Buono as well. This team has not performed up to its standards that I've been used to as a Lions fan. They're a perennial playoff team, and that hasn't been the case the last few years. I'm willing to give this team a chance to sort things out. I mean, Ed Hervey is putting his stamp on this team, and so far I don't think he's getting a passing grade. But at the same time, you know, I'm not going anywhere. I'm a Lions fan, and we're going to keep doing our podcast and keep trying to promote Lions football because, you know, one of the things that I want to see is fans back in that stadium. And Rod, I know you've been in BC Place when it's been packed to the brim, and it's a loud stadium and it can have an impact on the game. But right now the fans are tuning it out, and I'm really worried about the franchise as a whole. You know, I'm hoping that David Braley is eventually going to sell the team to local ownership, because I don't think having an absentee owner, you know, is a good thing for this market right now. They need somebody in this market that can, you know, engage with the fan base, engage with the businesses in the community, and understand the challenges in this market. And I don't think David Braley can do that sitting in Hamilton. And I have all the respect in the world for David Braley. He saved this franchise. He saved the franchise in this league, and he's been great for the CFL. But I think at this time, it's critical that the Lions get local ownership.
Brian, lastly, I've heard from two really good sources that there is a movement afoot to build an outdoor stadium in the lower mainland somewhere. I mean, you're out there. I don't know the geography as well, obviously, as you would, but 30,000 seats, outdoor. Cricket might be the primary sport, but who cares? Good. At least they get it built, and the Lions would play there too. Have you heard any of that? Is this a possibility?
I haven't heard anything like that for a long time. At one time, Caps wanted to build a stadium down on the waterfront, downtown Vancouver, but that got nixed. And, you know, I don't see that happening anytime soon. They spent a lot of money on BC Place, $500 million, I think it was. So, you know, I don't see any government money coming for that. It would have to be privately funded. I don't think David Braley's in a position or has any desire to be involved with that. So I'm not sure who would be building it. But I wouldn't want the Lions playing in a cricket stadium. You know, I would want it to, you know, be designed for football and soccer and be have good sight lines and things like that. So I don't know where they would build it, probably out in Surrey. I think that's the only place that has enough land where they could do something like that. And that may not be a bad thing either, getting it out of downtown. At one time, it was desirable to be downtown because of the transit options and you know, everybody could come downtown, but the traffic in this city is so bad right now that a lot of people, and it's reflected in the attendance that we see at BC Place, a lot of people are just watching on TV. The Lions still have their fans. The TV numbers are fantastic. It's just that people, you know, the cost of living in Vancouver is very high. It's tough for people to, you know, get off work, go get their kids, get back downtown Vancouver because of the challenges. And then you add in the $30 parking and the cost of concessions at BC Place, which the Lions don't get a dime of, by the way. And, you know, I think that it's a tough situation for a lot of people. And with big high-def TVs, people are just choosing to forego all that and watch the games on TV.
Well, Brian, we've taken up enough of your time, but we got a lot out of this report. And I appreciate you coming on. Enjoy the rest of the bye, and we'll catch up here later on in the season.
All right, thanks. It's going to be great to not have to watch this football team for a week anyway.
All right, thank you, Brian. Brian Warishin from the BC Lions Den podcast, and he has been spreading the word of this show through all of BC. So I want to thank him for that. He said this is his new addiction, is this program. And maybe an hour or two, when we come back after the top of the hour break, we'll talk a little bit about the phenomena that's hurting not just the CFL, but sports in general, and that is the high-definition television, because it is. And we can talk a little bit about the Schooners, too, because we haven't got to that yet. That was going to be my topic of the day and poll of the day. That game in Moncton, the touchdown Atlantic, the Alouettes and the Argos, is a tough sell. And they haven't sold anywhere near the tickets they expected to. And a CTV reporter in Halifax went after the commissioner yesterday in an interview talking about that. So I know the fans love to weigh in on ticket prices and the state of the game and so forth. So we're going to have a lot of fan participation next hour. We'll pause here. This has been hour one of episode number 42. People chiming in. The great Eddie Lowe, one of their favorite number 42s, of course, all time for the Saskatchewan Rough Riders, along with Jackie Robinson, Mariana Rivera, and more. It's the Rod Peterson Show on Facebook Live. Listen live at rodpeterson.com and podcast at CastBot, Stitcher, and Spotify.
If you've been using an inefficient heating system for indoor or outdoor use, you might be surprised by the quality and comfort that zone-controlled infrared heaters offer. Heating Green's energy-saving infrared heaters transfer sun-like warmth directly to people and objects without noise or maintenance. Increase your comfort and decrease cost, room by room. Our silent infrared heaters are perfect for indoor and outdoor spaces. For greater comfort using less energy, contact us at heatinggreen.com.
Employee pricing is back.
These are all pre-owned vehicles. They all have an employee price. You pay what we pay.
Check out this loaded GM-certified pre-owned 2018 Chevy Equinox. It's employee priced at just $22,998 plus tax. Or get into a GM-certified pre-owned fully loaded Cadillac CTS Luxury. It's employee priced at just $35,915 plus tax.
Employee pricing at Capital GMC.
You pay what we pay!
We'll be right back.
One of the things that I'm also running into lately is people who have been declined for marijuana use in the past.
Brian Baker with youareinsurable.ca.
Insurers will decline you for more than just your health. They'll decline you for your lifestyle. And in the past, any type of marijuana use over 2 grams a week is going to send red flags up to traditional insurers, because for those people who are suffering from chronic pain, other illnesses such as Crohn's colitis or depression for that matter, that have used marijuana as a treatment, they're probably using more than a couple of grams a week. Now we have legalized marijuana in the country, but don't expect the traditional insurers to have made that change to their underwriting policy. But I do have an insurer that will take care of the client.
If you've been declined due to cannabis, you are still insurable. Don't wait. Talk to Brian today. Brian specializes in finding critical illness, life, and disability insurance for hard-to-insure people just like you. Book your no-cost, confidential, risk-free consultation at youareinsurable.ca.
Enjoying the show? Why not join the team? We're exploding and in the market for a new top six forward. Have sales experience and ready to join a new team? Free agency is open and we want to hear from you or your agent. Send us an email to careers@dupontmedia.ca and submit your resume today. Do you have what it takes? For more Rod Peterson On Demand, visit rodpeterson.com.